Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's great to be able to worship with you once again in person. And as always, we thank you for your attention to the safety protocols for our assembly. We're delighted once again to have Brad Zimmerman back with us this morning. It's actually a surprise appearance. Andrew's wife, Raina, was potentially exposed to someone who tested positive for the coronavirus. So out of an abundance of caution, they are going to stay put for a little while they await results of their own testing. We certainly want to keep Andrew and Raina in our prayers for a negative test result. Well, folks, prior to the coronavirus restrictions being put in place, you likely remember that this whole front area up here would be packed with young children who came forward for the children's sermons. With the size of our children's ministry, which was growing consistently, it became difficult to sustain that with a single part-time staff member, let alone expand that ministry to our older youth group. So last week, the personnel committee proposed to the Berry Christian Church General Board that we add Kathy Connell to our staff as our new full-time director of our youth and children's ministries. That proposal was unanimously approved by the board. So today, right here in the sanctuary at 12 noon, we would love for you to attend a called congregational meeting to make an official vote of acceptance. There are also some other details that will be shared during that meeting regarding finances and including occupation of the parsonage and also the addition of Kathy Gorman as our new church custodian. So please do come back at 12 noon for this very important meeting. We do need 25 people present to make an official vote. Personally, I'm very excited about this opportunity for our children's ministries, and I know a lot of you are as well. So welcome again, folks, and please also welcome Brad as he leads our call to worship this morning.
Thank you. I feel like a regular now. If you'll stand for the call to worship, please. We will proclaim your greatness, our God and King. The Lord is great and to be highly praised. We'll sing the opening hymn, "This is My Father's World," all three verses.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. God's hands all wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the flowers bright, declare their Maker's reign. Our God has made this world and shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear God's bass, who speaks to me everywhere. Our God has made this world. Oh, let us never forget that through the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. God trusts us in this
May we bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, as we continue our journey through this period of virus restrictions, we celebrate the fact that we can still gather here in person in a genuine and authentic time of worship and fellowship. We are also joyful to be planning an expansion of ministries for our youngest among us during this time. Oh God, we pray for your guidance in all that we do. And especially at this time, we pray for the living presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, his presence that is peaceful, comforting, and healing. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning. And gratefully, we haven't had any new additions to the prayer chain here in the last few days. So that's certainly encouraging news for us. But we especially want to lift up Catherine O'Neill's daughter, Susan, as she will be having surgery this week. When we also continue to remember Ken and Roxy Weaver in the midst of their recoveries from the knee surgeries. Jill McCombie's in our prayers as she is recovering from surgery. Jim and Phyllis Frenthrop are in our prayers. And Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat Reese, and her brother, Brandon, are both in our prayers. Kelly, bless you. Glad you all are here this morning. And, of course, Jerry Treese's great-nephew, Kenneth Hoyes, is in our prayers. Edna Williams' great-great-granddaughter, Caitlin's in our prayers. We continue to remember Judy Settles, Betty Donahue, Raina Ralston, Perla Mora's niece, Michelle, and her friend, Marianne Sales. J.C. Riddle is now dealing with some treatments for leukemia. And Pam Roberts continues to be in our prayers, as well as David and Ardith Haynes' nephew, Kent, and Susan Hank's daughter, Candace, and Michelle Jacobo, and certainly others we've been remembering. So may it be in the spirit of contemplation before God that we offer our prayers before him. Gracious and holy God, it is with joy and celebration that we assemble in your house and offer you praise. As the Apostle Peter wrote in the beginning chapter of his letter to the believers in northern Turkey, we also wish to exclaim, "Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of your great mercy, you gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that you keep for your people. You keep them for us in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away." And with the thoughts of Simon Peter's words in our hearts and minds, may it always be with a lighter step and joy-filled hearts that we not only worship you this Lord's Day, O God, but may we also be filled with a living hope as we realize that we are first and foremost citizens of heaven. For we realize, O God, that every week does and will continue to have its own litany of trials and troubles, concerns and burdens, for we dwell as human residents in a fallible world. But as we focus our attention, our minds and our hearts upon your ways, we pray each day that what we do and say will bring honor to your kingdom's work here on earth. For as believers in Christ, we are humbled by what Christ offered of himself for our soul's redemption. We are inspired by his example, as Simon Peter encourages us to have reverence for Christ in our hearts and to honor him as Lord, as we are ready at all times to answer anyone who asks us to explain the hope that is within us. This we pray In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Lenora and Brad. That's what happens when you get two very gifted musicians on the same keyboard. Our time of communion has always been a time of reflection and meditation and contemplation. So even when we cannot physically gather as we did before, we still want to commemorate this time as we reflect on our blessings and our relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. May we turn to our community reflection at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. Our hymn of contemplation is number 66, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. We will sing stanzas 1 and 4.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, enlightened, accessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, most ancient of days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Thou reignest in glory, thou dwellest in light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praises we render, O help us to see that only the splendor of light hideth thee.
For this morning's scripture reading, we're looking at 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 18. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, how happy you are. Do not be afraid of anyone and do not worry, but have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. But do it with gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are insulted, those who speak evil of your good conduct as followers of Christ will become ashamed of what they say. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if this should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once and for all, a good man on behalf of sinners, in order to lead you to God. He was put to death physically, but made alive spiritually. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are again privileged to be in your house here on this Lord's Day. As the sun comes up yet another day, we're privileged to proclaim Christ in what we do and say, thus in our endeavor to bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. Rest assured in the truth that we will one day share in your great glory. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. So here we are in this 13:3:16 sermon, coming near to a close, not only with this series, but also certainly with the New Testament text. And today we are exploring the letter of 1 Peter. Next week we'll look at Revelation, the 3rd chapter. But as I mentioned last week in this Sunday's message, like that of last week, the 16th verse doesn't carry that memorable punch like some of our 16th verses and some of our previous texts that we've looked at. But today, in this 3rd chapter, it's actually the 15th verse that is quite memorable. This is one of those verses well worth putting on a plaque and putting on your kitchen wall. Have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. Isn't that a wonderful message for us? Well worth remembering as we journey day to day. But let us explore what's happening here as 1 Peter is being written. It's believed that it was dictated by the apostle Simon Peter. For as he begins in the very first verse of the first chapter, from Peter, apostle of Christ Jesus, to God's chosen people who live throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are places in the northern part of what was called Asia Minor and is now what we call that northern stretch of Turkey. Some versions of the Bible say it was written to sojourners. And in the second chapter, the 11th verse, Peter calls these sojourners his friends, who are strangers and refugees in this world. We remember in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that the Apostle Paul calls himself and other believers citizens of heaven, who eagerly await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. So in our text for today, as well as in Philippians, we see Paul and Simon Peter remind those who are hearing their words that their status here in this earthly residency is but temporary, for their permanent residency is present with God in Christ in the heavenly realm. And surely, as believers in Christ, that is something we need to always have in the consciousness of our minds and in our perspective as we proceed with whatever comes about in day-to-day living. Now, Peter is dictating this letter to these believers with the assistance of a fellow companion of both himself and the Apostle Paul. His name was Silas, who also became the messenger who sent this letter to these various locations. For as Peter states in 1 Peter the 5th chapter, verse 12, I write you this brief letter with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful Christian brother. Now we remember Silas, don't we? He and Paul were beaten, flogged, and imprisoned in the town of Philippi as their preaching was declared a public nuisance, remember? And then later, when those officials of the town found out that they were actually Roman citizens, the next morning they came back and said, oh my gosh, we're so sorry for what we've done to you. Please accept our apology as we let you out of prison. Right? Remember that? But yet, there they were that night as they had been beaten, flogged, and imprisoned. The text tells us that Paul and Silas were being heard as they were praying and singing hymns of praise. And of course, we know how the story goes. The doors of the prison miraculously open, and the chief jailer is about to kill himself. Is he not? And of course they declare, no, don't take your life. We're all here. Nobody's escaped. And the chief jailer was so inspired by what he saw in Paul and Silas that he committed his life to Christ, and all his family were baptized. But here, as Peter is having Silas write this letter for him, Peter has a definite purpose in writing this letter to these early believers in what is now northern Turkey. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, I want to encourage you and give my testimony that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. For Simon Peter knew that his time was short, and yet difficult times were coming for these believers. Peter knew this just as much as the Apostle Paul knew this. You remember, as we explored the letter of 2 Timothy, you know, that last letter that we have documented in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul, there is this urgency about standing firm in the faith, because both of these great apostles know that difficult times are coming for believers. And of course, it's actually referred to in this text of 1 Peter as a fiery trial, if you look at it from the King James Version. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now see, during Jesus' ministry and in the very early years of Christianity, the Christian faith was regarded by the Roman Empire as simply a sect of Judaism. Even as the Jewish high priest made his plea against Jesus before Pilate, Pilate saw their claims against Jesus as merely religious squabblings among the Jews. That's why Pilate was willing to wash his hand of the whole affair and let them do with Jesus however they please. Under Roman rule, Judaism was considered an approved religion. Jews were exempt from military service and allowed to worship as they pleased, so long as they paid their taxes and they didn't cause trouble. Considered a sect of Judaism, early Christianity was afforded the same protections as Judaism. But when it became clear that Christianity was not a Jewish sect, those protections were eliminated and Christianity became a target for the Roman rulers who needed a scapegoat for their devious deeds. And first among those Roman rulers was, of course, the Emperor Nero, whose zealousness to rebuild Rome was so great that it is believed that he may have been the one who ordered the fire of July AD 64 that destroyed 2/3 of the city. Because again, in that time period, so much was made of wood. It didn't take much to burn it down. Nero, he had a convenient scapegoat in the Christians. He could appease those of the pagan religions by saying, well, I think the Christians caused all of this. Many Christians were imprisoned. Many were murdered, and their bodies used as torches that lit up the city grounds. It was even before the atrocities escalated that Peter could perceive what was coming. So before his own martyrdom, Peter dictated with the assistance of Silas, 1 Peter, likely in the year 63 AD. And all of this is thus the backdrop as we read Simon Peter's words in the third chapter here of 1 Peter. We begin with a portion of our text this morning, verse 13 and continuing. Who will harm you if you are eager to do what's good? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, how happy you are. Do not be afraid of anyone, and do not worry. But have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have in you. We must note that verses 14 and 15 are actually a reference back to a story that the Jewish Christian folks among them would have remembered. For Simon Peter is making a reference to Isaiah chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. In that Old Testament story, King Ahaz of Judah was facing a crisis as the mighty Assyrian army was threatening invasion. The kings of Israel and Syria wanted Ahaz to join them in an alliance, but Ahaz refused. Instead, Ahaz joined in a secret alliance with their mutual enemy, the Assyrians. And as this happened, the prophet Isaiah warned King Ahaz against ungodly alliances in which Ahaz was not putting his trust in who he should. And who is that? Of course, it's God. As the prophet speaks in Isaiah chapter 8, do not join in the schemes of the people and do not be afraid of the things that they fear. Remember that I, the Lord, the Almighty, am holy. I am the one you must fear. King Ahaz needed to understand that his true alliance was with God. And Simon Peter wanted the Christian believers in northern Turkey to believe that no matter what the Romans may choose to throw at them, their true alliance was not with the Romans, not with the persecutors, but truly with God through Jesus Christ. Thus we repeat and strive to remember this key verse that Simon Peter is expressing today, that 15th verse. As he says to them, he's also saying to us, but have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that is in you. You know, even today, there are occasions when Christian believers are targets of the wrath of unbelievers. And just like in those early days of Christianity, such targeting is unprovoked. In a January 2020 article of Christianity Today, a research project discovered that every day, 8 Christians worldwide are killed simply because of their Christian faith. Every week, 182 churches or Christian buildings are attacked, and every month, 309 Christians are imprisoned throughout the world unjustly. About 260 million Christians suffer high to severe levels of persecution simply for our being identified as Christians in multiple countries the world over. And you know, even Christian folks in our own country, even in our own places, people are easily targeted by co-workers, neighbors, and even relatives who may think it's some kind of sport simply to ridicule one simply for identifying with Christ. Right? And many of us have had those experiences. I've shared with you before, you know, back in my college years, I worked as a painter. And yet the crew that I was assigned to, when they found out that I was finishing up college and getting on my way to go to seminary because I wanted to be a preacher, boy, that put a big old red bullseye right on my back. From that moment on, you know, because they asked, you know, they knew I was summertime help. And, well, what do you do? What do you do? Why are you here in this town? Oh, I'm going to school. What are you studying? Well, this and that. I'm not going to lie. Oh. You know, and as I've said before, I was the one who got the highest peak to paint. I was the one who got the toughest job of wherever we were going. And one guy in particular worked really hard to provoke me. He thought nothing of just when we were spraying lacquer. And we actually sprayed lacquer stain on new cabinet work back then. You know, it was actually installed raw wood at the time. And then you went back and finished it out. Well, here we are. My job was wiping that stuff off as he did the spraying. Well, he didn't think nothing of just going ahead and let that old spray gun just keep going and spray across my face. You know, glad that I had the mask on. Although those don't work very well, do they, Ron? After a while, you know, pretty nasty stuff. But, you know, he did everything he could to try to provoke me those 3 months I worked on that team. But you know what? I had to continue to remember, this is temporary. Thankfully, it was. This was not going to be my full-time job. And I wasn't going to have to be with these gentlemen forever. I knew my time was short. I had to bide my time, had to maintain my faith and not be drawn into his provocations. What really struck me was when my last day, as I was basically saying goodbye and heading on back to school, he came up to me and he said, well, you know, Dennis, you really are a Christian person. I'm amazed at how you put up with me. But what I knew is that was a man in his own heart of hearts. He was in his own evil turmoil, right? But I didn't need to succumb to that. And I didn't need to succumb to what would have been his little mini persecutions of the time, right? So it is for all of us, whether it be in the workplace, relating to a neighbor, relating to a relative who just thinks that your Christian testimony is all hogwash. You know, you are first and foremost a temporary resident of this world, and you are citizens of heaven. We are to strive to do everything we can to have reverence and honor for Christ. And as the text continues here in this third chapter of 1 Peter, Peter dictates to Silas in the 16th verse, "Do so with gentleness and respect. We are to keep our conscience clear so that when we are insulted, those who speak evil of your good conduct as followers of Christ will become ashamed of what they say. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if this should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once and for all, a good man on behalf of sinners, in order to lead you to God. He was put to death physically, but he was made alive spiritually." And so, as I have said on so many occasions, we do what we do, and we say what we say in thanksgiving for what Christ has already done for us. We have reverence and honor for Christ. Do we not? Praise God. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life will be transformed. And maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. As we turn to our hymn of invitation in your flyer, it's the number 349. "My Jesus, I Love Thee," we'll sing all stanzas, please. 349.
My Jesus, I love Thee.
For being in the Lord's house this morning. And again, a reminder that at noon today, we do have that very important congregational meeting to vote on the proposal of our Kathy and Kathy situation, of Kathy Connell being our full-time Director of Children and Youth and the new resident for the parsonage, and of course for Kathy Gorman to become the church's custodian. I know it's game day. I know they start at 12 noon, but we are certainly hoping that if we can get an affirmative vote at this meeting, then we can move forward and, you know, in a good way here, rather than the parsonage house
and unoccupied. So that's the reason why I didn't hold this up by another week. You'll have plenty of time to go finish watching the rest of the game. It takes four quarters, remember, not just the first quarter. So please join us, if you will, today. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're grateful for the privilege to be in your house. Guide us as we step forward and in our endeavors to honor Christ in all we do and say. We give thanks for the privilege, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now?